Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, 2 weeks until many students head back to school. They've got the new pencils and the notebooks and all the latest fashions, but do your kids have the vaccinations and boosters they need? Also coming up in our Throwback Thursday segment this morning, while kids need to be up to date on their shots before heading back to school, many adults don't realize that they have an important immunization schedule to follow as well. And this week has brought metrics on how investors, analysts, and even consumers feel about the economy. What about those in the driver's seat? Bank of America is out with their 2024 Business Owner Report. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Thursday, August 1st, 2024. So the medal count has tightened up at the Olympics, by the way. France closed the gap yesterday. The U.S. added 4 more medals on Wednesday. We are still at the top of the leaderboard with 30 medals overall, 5 gold, 13 silver, and 12 bronze. France, however, is now just 4 behind us with 26 total medals. So it's a little closer than it was. China is in third place with 19 medals overall, but China does lead the race for gold with 9 total gold medals. We have 4. So that's where the medal count is. And by the way, speaking of the Olympics and gold medals, Katie Ledecky won a gold yesterday. Did you see her race in, what was it, the women's 1500 meter, her swim? It was amazing. She basically lapped the field. I didn't even know that was possible, but she basically lapped the field in the 1500 meter. I did not see the video. I did not see the race itself, but I did see the photograph of her at the end of the race where she had finished, and there was not even another swimmer in the frame. She was so far ahead, she looked like she was the only one in the pool. And she was that far ahead of everybody else. Just amazing. Just amazing. By the way, this is your daily dose of kind of Olympic interesting here. We talk about the medal count. The athletes, aside from the medal, the medals, when they win an event, is not the only thing that they get. They get the medal, the gold, silver, or bronze. But then they also get, and this is kind of interesting, they get a stuffed animal, the stuffed toy of the Olympic mascot, and they get a mystery box of goodies. They get just basically a goodie bag. That's it. They don't get paid, at least by the International Olympic Commission. They do not give out prize money for winning medals. However, several countries do reward athletes with bonuses for winning some hardware. So if you've ever wondered, do the athletes get paid? Yes and no. They don't get paid by the International Olympic Committee, but they do get bonuses from their home countries. U.S. athletes will get $38,000 every time they win gold, $23,000 for a silver medal, and $15,000 for bringing home a bronze, which seems rather low. I mean, you think about all of the training and all of the preliminary competitions that go into even making it to the Olympics. And even if you win gold, your payoff is $38,000. That's it. I mean, that hardly seems worth it. I mean, I understand the glory of winning an Olympic medal, and you can't put a price on the experience. Yeah. But, I mean, this is not something that you can really afford to do exclusively full-time, right? Unless you've got sponsors and or very generous benefactors, because you ain't getting rich becoming an Olympic athlete. This is not one of those things where you've got overpaid, pampered athletes. Well, you know, except in the basketball competition, because you got the pros competing. But generally speaking, being an Olympian is not going to make you really wealthy unless you get sponsorship deals after the fact or whatever. Or unless you are from Hong Kong. Hong Kong and Singapore are the nations that offer the highest payouts for their Olympic victors. They pay the equivalent of $768,000 and $745,000, respectively. So around $750,000 is what athletes in Hong Kong and Singapore get. Now, that's more like it right there. That's more what we expect. But the U.S. just 38,000 for gold, 23 for silver, 15 for bronze. Kind of interesting. Some of the other most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started. The record-breaking number of confirmed tornadoes in Ohio this year continued to climb earlier this week. On Tuesday, the National Weather Service says an EF1 touched down in Warren and Clinton counties, so southern Ohio. The storm, we haven't seen any weather all week long, but that is the exception rather than the rule. Other places have. Maximum wind speeds of 95 miles an hour caused power outages and some damage to residences, but no injuries reported. The state has now seen 65 tornadoes so far this year, surpassing the all-time record, which was hit last month. But you remember back in the late spring and early summer, we were talking that we might blast the tornado record, the annual record. We were only like a month into tornado season. We already were nearly at the so the number of tornadoes has definitely slowed down here as we've gotten into the summer, because we were on quite the pace, but we did get another one this week. So interesting. Good news for seafood lovers. You remember a few weeks ago, Red Lobster announced that they would be closing their Findlay location. It has not closed yet, and now it appears there may be a reprieve. Now, I haven't been able to find anything official on this, but this is the story off of the Newswire this morning. Although Red Lobster has closed about 100 stores recently, the remaining locations can likely be saved. Fortress Investment Group predicts the chain will be able to continue operating more or less as usual and without further closures. There are still hurdles to clear. The number of visitors to Red Lobster restaurants has fallen 30% since 2019, and Red Lobster filed for bankruptcy back in May after many years of financial struggles. So it's not a guarantee, but the fact that the Findlay location hasn't yet closed may be a good sign that perhaps the store might be saved from the chopping block after all, which would be good news for seafood lovers, especially since Finn's just closed not all that long ago. And so where do you go for seafood? And you can go to Captain D's, but other than that, there aren't a whole lot of options for seafood lovers locally, but it looks like maybe, just maybe, the Findlay location might be spared. So if you're a seafood lover, cross your fingers. Speaking of Ohio stories, a couple of other Ohio-related items that are worth noting here this morning. The first 3D-printed house is being built in Columbus right now. The first, I believe it's the first 3D printed house in Ohio. I know it's the first in Columbus. It's a residence on East 26th Street in Columbus that is the first of its kind in the city. An Ohio contractor is heading up the project, overseeing a small crew as they build up the structure using computer-controlled machines and layers of concrete. A spokesperson for the Columbus City Council says the technology may be able to get more affordable housing built in the city more quickly while cutting costs at the same time. And affordable housing has been a big issue in Columbus and virtually every city in America, for that matter, for quite some time. This may actually hold the key to bringing prices down for people who are seeking affordable housing. 3D printed technology being used to build a home in Columbus now. Kind of interesting. Watch it very closely. And Big news on the technology front for Ohioans. If you have an iPhone, you now have another option for identifying yourself at a TSA checkpoint. Ohio's state driver's licenses and ID cards can now be added to your Apple Wallet if you have an iPhone. The governor announced the change this week, making Ohio the fifth state in the nation to make ID, official identification cards, driver's licenses, and state-issued ID cards available for digital storage. I think Arizona does it. Colorado does it. I think there are a couple of other, I know there are a couple of other states. Ohio is the fifth now. In addition to the TSA, as we mentioned, some businesses will be able to accept the digital ID, for age verification and that. Not all, though, and this is the knock on digital IDs, is that not everybody will accept digital IDs, which means you still have to carry your physical driver's license. And the same thing goes at the TSA. Yes, you can use your digital ID in your digital wallet, but if something happens and your phone crashes or the machines don't pick it up, don't read it correctly for whatever reason, you'll still have to present your physical ID as backup. So, yes, you can use the digital version, but if you got to carry your regular driver's license anyway, what's the benefit? I don't know. But it is the beginning, experts say it is the beginning of the full digitization of IDs in the, and now the state of Ohio is jumping on board this next great technology. So kind of interesting stuff there. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly sunny today, a chance of a storm, high around 90. Chance of storms tonight, low in the mid-70s. The Findlay Police Department, Fire Department, and Hanco EMS conducted active shooter training together at Donnell Middle School. Findlay Police Chief James Mathias on the importance of the training.
We try and give as much to the participants that they can take in without being a real-life situation. So we're using sim guns, paint rounds, and try and simulate that type of activity with gunfire. I say the actors, we have several people that volunteered their time today that's helping us out with those type of things.
Similar training was conducted last week at Glenwood Middle School. See video from the training at Donnell Middle School in this story on our website. A Toledo fisherman is being called a hero after saving a woman from the Maumee River.
Justin Slater tells us he was fishing when he noticed a woman had jumped off the Martin Luther King Jr. Bridge and then was struggling in the water. He immediately called for help, but Justin says he couldn't wait, and so he decided to take some action.
I heard the splash, and I seen her swimming. And she started screaming for help. I had to save her.
WTOL 11's Tatiana Cash reporting. The states of Ohio and Michigan have received grant funding and will partner on a turtle study.
Blandings and spotted turtles are in the spotlight as the state of Ohio has received $500,000 to study the wildlife. Turtles live in northern Ohio and also close to the upper Ohio River. The project unites the Departments of Natural Resources for both Ohio and Michigan to research these rare turtles. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services says it's part of a nationwide $7 million project to identify endangered species.
ONN's Clay Gordon reporting. The Summer Art Walk will be happening in downtown Findlay on Friday from 5 to 9 p.m., Visit Findlay says whether with friends or solo, stroll from place to place and take in the local art scene and enjoy work from local artists, artisans, live music, and good vibes. Get more details in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Well, you know, it doesn't seem possible that school will be starting up again in just a couple of weeks, but already families are starting to get prepared, doing their shopping for school supplies and new clothes and doing the open houses and filling out all the forms. and hopefully getting your kids to the doctor. Overall, vaccination rates amongst kindergartners remains at its lowest level in decades. And joining us this morning is Dr. Rosha McCoy. She is Senior Director for Advancing Clinical Leadership and Quality at the Association of American Medical Colleges. Dr. McCoy, when we say that vaccination rates are at a decades-long low, what we're really talking about here is going from 95 to 93% in the past 2 years. Is that really that big of a deal?
Yes. Thanks for having me. Yes, it is. It is a big deal because even a small percentage decrease means that, you know, hundreds of kids could get sick. And that is very concerning to us because these are all preventable with the vaccine. And many of these diseases can be quite serious, especially for really young kids or kids with some underlying condition.
You know, just the other day, we had the story that COVID rates are on the rise in Ohio, along with most other states, and that there is yet another new variant that is emerging. But that's really not what you're talking about here, right?
We're not as much, because the updated COVID vaccines won't be ready probably until late August or September. So that'll be after kids start school. We're really talking about the routine vaccinations that kids need for school. Many states have requirements, particularly at kindergarten. So to enter kindergarten, kids need a certain series of vaccines. And then, throughout their lives, there may be updates that are needed, boosters that are needed. You know, we look again at teenagers often need boosters. So we're really talking about routine vaccinations that have been given for decades. We thought many of these diseases had been eradicated, but anytime we see a decrease, even a small decrease in vaccine rates, we see these diseases reemerging. Really important for people.
No, that's fine. You make a good point that along these same lines, it's important to point out that we're not just talking about kids heading to kindergarten, although obviously that's part of it. There are these benchmarks where additional vaccinations and additional boosters are needed. So how do I know if my child is caught up and what, if any, vaccinations that he or she might need?
Yeah, I mean, the best way is to hopefully people have either electronic vaccine cards or printed vaccine cards or information about what their children have had to check with your child's pediatrician or primary care physician, and they can easily tell you what a child might need. It's really important to be very clear. There are some things that are required for school that states require. And there are some other vaccines that are not required, but are also important for parents to consider for their children.
Such as, what are some of the more common ones that we would want to be talking about with a pediatrician?
Sure. I mean, the ones that we typically think about are things that protect against diphtheria, pertussis, which is whooping cough, tetanus. You know, these are all things that we really don't see these diseases much anymore, but they're still around. You know, we still hear about babies who get whooping cough every year and who get very sick. Tetanus is in the soil, so a wound could get contaminated with tetanus. Measles. Measles is one of the most infectious conditions. And even being in a room with, being in a room that somebody who has been exposed to measles and has measles and then going in that room, you could get measles. So we've seen some uptick in measles cases around the country, mumps, rubella. So those are all the common diseases that we vaccinate against and really important for folks to be thinking about.
What if cost is a concern?
Yeah, for children, most of the time, children should qualify for something around being able to get the free vaccine for children. So if your pediatrician doesn't participate in that, there may be a health department option. Many of hospitals offer these free vaccine back-to-school clinics or mobile van programs. So really looking around for those kinds of programs potentially. but most children are able to qualify for Medicaid if their parents don't have private insurance. Hopefully for most children in this country, we're able to offer vaccine without cost.
So there should be options available. And then there is the timing on this. As we said, for many students, school starts in 2 weeks. So this is something that parents really should be doing right now if they haven't already, not waiting until the day before.
Exactly. And we really think this is also an important time to not just get vaccines, which are extremely important, but also to see a primary care provider and a pediatrician to get a routine physical, make sure your child is healthy, a good time to connect with a pediatrician to make sure you're thinking about all the safety things that need to be considered for kids, and thinking about keeping the child healthy for the school year.
Again, as we were saying, this used to be a standard part of the back-to-school routine for families. In recent years, people have become more skeptical, more COVID-weary. Clearly, from the numbers we mentioned earlier, that has had an impact. What is the message for those who still may be resisting or dismissive of this?
Yeah, the message is, prevention is always better than cure. And we've been giving these vaccines for decades. These are safe and effective vaccines. And, people should not get complacent, because if we become complacent, all these diseases are going to come back. And I think people just need to remember a time when these diseases cause really serious illness and even death in children. And so we just need to not become complacent and make sure we're using all the tools that we have available to us.
Again, Dr. Rocha McCoy is Senior Director for Advancing Clinical Leadership and Quality at the Association of American Medical Colleges. Where do we get more information, Dr. McCoy?
Probably the best place is the CDC website or the American Academy of Pediatrics website. Both of those have all the current information and should be easy for families to navigate.
And give you an idea of what your child may be due for, regardless of whether they're in kindergarten or any of those other benchmarks as we were mentioning earlier. Dr. McCoy, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And now to our Throwback Thursday segment this morning. Today's cover story, we're talking about getting kids their back-to-school vaccinations. Very important to do this time of year. But, we grown-ups need to be immunized as well. And data shows that most of us are behind on our recommended vaccination schedule, which may come as a surprise to some people. So we're getting our kids to the doctor to get their shots. We probably need to get ours at the same time. Probably would be a good thing to do. This is not a new thing. All the way back in September of 2014, we spoke with Dr. Walter Williams, medical officer in the Immunization Services Division of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It is today's Throwback Thursday.
Dr. Williams, you say, in fact, many adults do not even realize that there is a complete adult immunization schedule.
You're quite right. Most adults aren't even aware that they need vaccines throughout their lives to protect them against serious illnesses like pertussis or whooping cough, influenza, shingles, pneumococcal disease, tetanus, and also hepatitis A and hepatitis B. Adult vaccination rates in the United States are extremely low. Every year there are thousands of adults in the United States who suffer serious health problems, are hospitalized, or even die from diseases that could have been prevented by vaccination.
Now, just to be clear, are we talking about boosters of vaccines that we had as children or completely different vaccines that we haven't gotten yet?
A bit of both. Most adults may have already either had or had shots to protect against diseases like measles, mumps, rubella, mm-hmm. tetanus, diphtheria, whooping cough, and chickenpox. We should all get our flu shot every year to protect ourselves from getting influenza and spreading it to family members. But others may need vaccines because of health conditions, their age, their job, their lifestyle, or travel to foreign countries where certain diseases may be more common.
Now, how common are the diseases that we're talking about preventing here? Because, again, we talk about the rates of vaccination in adults being extremely low. One would think that if this were such an urgent health concern, we would hear more cases of people coming down with diseases that they should be vaccinated against.
That may just be because it's not a, quote, news story. Every year, thousands of adults in the United States suffer serious health problems, are hospitalized, and even die from diseases that could be prevented by vaccines. For example, in last year, there were about 30,000 cases of what we call invasive pneumococcal disease, and over 3,000 deaths among adults 19 and older. About one out of every three people will get shingles at some point in their life, and there are nearly a million cases of shingles each year, which can cause severe long-term pain. There are effective vaccines against these diseases, and we encourage adults to find out what they need and get vaccinated. Another important example, too, we often think of whooping cough as a disease for babies. However, mm-hmm. thousands of adults get whooping cough each year, and the risk there is that they may actually spread it to infants who are too young to be vaccinated, and this can cause serious illness in infants and even death. During a recent two-year period, for example, nearly 16,000 adults, 19 and older, were reported as having pertussis, and of those, about two died, and there were more than 600 who were hospitalized.
So, again, these are very real risks that can be prevented simply with a vaccine. Now, when we talk about vaccines for children, there is a very specific schedule at specific ages where kids need to be inoculated. Is there a similar schedule for adults?
Yes, there is. There is an adult immunization schedule. It's
okay.
updated by CDC in collaboration with professional organizations like the American College of Physicians, the American Academy of Family Physicians, and others. It's updated every year and published in CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, and also published by the American College of Physicians Journal, the Annals of Internal Medicine. But each year, that updated immunization schedule lays out all of the vaccines that are routinely recommended for adults, provides very specific information to providers and anyone interested in providing vaccines to adults. That schedule is available at the CDC website, www.cdc.gov/vaccines. And just surf around and you'll find all of the important information you need to know about adult vaccination.
Yeah, you go to the website, there is a whole section on adult vaccinations, exactly what we're talking about here. And of course, recently, in recent years, very much in the news, there's been the question of the misperceptions among many parents about vaccinating their children because of the health risks that are believed to be associated with vaccinations. And I know that science and doctors have, the medical community has done a great deal of work to debunk a number of those myths. Do those persist into adulthood as well? I mean, are there adults who refuse to be vaccinated on the belief that there is a health risk associated with vaccines?
One of the most important reasons why many adults don't get vaccinated is that they just aren't aware that they need certain vaccines. And another important contributor is that often their doctors don't recommend the vaccinations that they might need. But you're quite right. Some adults do have concerns about vaccine side effects and risks that they perceive they may get from getting vaccines. But the bottom line is that vaccination is very safe. The vaccines have been studied extensively. They were licensed after extensive studies by the Food and Drug Administration on safety and effectiveness. And CDC and the FDA monitors the performance of vaccines once they're licensed and in use across the United States. Bottom line, the vaccines are very safe.
That is an important point, that not only are these things approved for use, but then they're monitored after they go into use. So it's not like the testing or the monitoring stops there once it hits the market. So an important point, I think, is worth underscoring. And lastly, for a lot of folks, you mentioned the flu vaccine. The flu shot is one that is a good example that we do know about, and a lot of people do get the flu vaccine. But you can get that just about anywhere. You don't necessarily have to go to your doctor. What about these other vaccines? If individuals don't have a regular doctor that they see, where else can we get these types of vaccines?
That's a very good question. Adults can get vaccines, you mentioned, at their doctor's offices, but if not there, at pharmacies, at their workplace often, at community health clinics, and health departments. There's an easy access site available on the web. It's at the CDC website. Go to that site, and they'll receive a list of vaccine recommendations that they can print out and take to their doctor or other healthcare professional.
Again, our Throwback Thursday today with Dr. Walter Williams, medical officer in the Immunization Services Division of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, about the vaccines that adults need as well. While we're thinking about it for our kids, for back to school, we need to start thinking about it for ourselves as well. And as we mentioned, this is not anything new. It's our conversation from all the way back a decade ago, September of 2014. Today's Throwback Thursday.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
A 54-year-old woman from Michigan found an email in her spam folder that she probably would have wanted to see. Have you ever had that, where an important email gets rerouted to your junk mail folder by accident, and you either see it much later or you bump into somebody who tells you, hey, didn't you get my email? And yeah, it ends up in the spam folder. Well, in this case, the anonymous woman had not realized she had been earning second chance drawing in entries in the Michigan lottery when she played online lottery games. And it turns out she was a winner of $207,000. It went to her junk folder. She says, I was confused when I came across an email from the Michigan lottery in my spam folder saying I'd won 207,199 big cash second chance jackpot prize. jackpot prize worth more than $207,000. Fortunately, she caught it before the offer expired, and she was able to claim her prize. She says she plans to invest her winnings, maybe in some sort of system that will better screen for online spam. Maybe that's what she should invest in. She's also going to pay some bills, and she happy ending to the story, but that could have had that could have ended very badly. Let's see. What else going on in the broken news here? We often have stories of, you know, things falling off of vehicles or vehicles overturning on the highway, spilling unusual contents of said vehicles. In this case, it was in San Antonio, Texas, on Interstate 10, when traffic was delayed when a tank fell off a flatbed trailer on Sunday afternoon. A tank fell off of a flatbed trailer. The vehicle, believed to be an M109 howitzer, was damaged, but nobody was injured. No military personnel were around. So apparently this is a privately owned tank. Towing services... Mission Wrecker, San Antonio Towing Services, had to be called in to help recover the vehicle. The road was cleared by 8 p.m. It happened around 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, and it was cleared a few hours later. But that is a little unusual. That is not something that you see every day when a tank falls off a flatbed onto the highway. I'm going to secure that thing a little bit better. How do you lose a tank? I mean, these are really heavy. You wouldn't think they would move around much once you get them up there on the trailer, but strap those down. How would you like to be in the next lane or right behind that truck when the tank falls off of it? Be a little scary, a little unnerving. Elsewhere in the broken news, this from New Zealand. And again, this is another story that we frequently see in the broken news about somebody who's mistaking one thing for something sinister. A woman walking her dog on a local beach in New Zealand feared the worst when she saw what appeared to be a headless woman in the sand. A headless woman. Alice Cowdery says, I could see it was definitely the shape of a torso face down, and you could tell that it was a woman's figure, but she didn't get any closer. She contacted police. Police actually were even fooled for a while until one of them flipped the body over and realized what it actually was, an adult doll. An adult doll. You know what I'm talking about. The kind of doll that we're talking about. Police say the doll was likely worth thousands of dollars, but it's still unclear how it came to appear on an out-of-the-way beach that very few people actually go to. Well, I've got a few ideas how it ended up on the beach. How it lost its head, though, is something else entirely. Although cops say it may very well have been stolen, they are now focusing on more urgent incidents. They're not necessarily interested in learning the entire story. I have to admit, I probably would feel the same way. Okay, I think we know enough. We can move on now. Let's see. In California, police in Alhambra, California. Yeah. Police are investigating after several fake parking tickets were found on vehicles across the city in recent days. This is kind of weird and a little disturbing. Apparently, the fake parking tickets include a QR code to pay the quote-unquote fine. And unfortunately, this fooled some people. They scanned the QR code to pay their parking fine, and that takes you to a malicious website which harvests your personal data. Police who find the fake tickets on their windshields are also being tricked into downloading malware onto their device. The Alhambra Police Department says the fake parking tickets do not resemble the actual ones that the city hands out. But if you've never gotten a parking ticket before, you wouldn't know that, I guess. So, wow, that's a little scary. That's something to keep in mind. Apparently, if you can't get the scammers to respond to your texts or your emails, you take the scams to them that way. Wow. Let's see. Speaking of California, this in nearby Garden Grove, California. Firefighters rescued a kitten stuck. This firefighters rescuing kittens is not necessarily a new thing. They often, you know, they'd be up in a tree or in a storm drain. But no, this kitten was stuck inside the wheel of a spare tire. Now, I'm assuming, I believe that what they're talking about is a tire mounted on a wheel, like on the back. You see them on the back of SUVs like Jeeps, where they got the wheel mounted on the tire, the spare tire. They're mounted on the back. And apparently, somehow, the cat managed to get inside between the wheel and the tire. I don't know how in the world this happened, but the owner of the car heard the meows of the cat and discovered it poking its head out of the hub. They called Orange County fire crews, who used soap and water at first, but were not able to pull the kitten out. They had to resort to using a metal chainsaw and a large spoon to protect the cat's head while they cut the wheel and keep the wheel cool with water as they were cutting it. They were eventually able to free the little cat, who came home with the man who found it. So now he's got to buy a new spare tire and wheel, but at least he's got a new cat. Keep that cat indoors. And finally, in the broken news this morning, this is a little unusual. A 21-year-old Harvard dropout has invented something that may be the biggest technology device of the future. It is an AI-powered friend. According to Avi Shiftman, who invented this, the friend, that's what he calls it, the friend is a wearable pendant that combats loneliness by engaging in conversations and essentially keeping the user company. You can buy this electronic AI-powered friend for $99. Pre-orders are being taken now, and delivery is expected after the first of the year. An AI-powered friend. This is what we've come to in this world now. We don't have any real friends. We've got to invent our own. There you go. That is today's broken news report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
We tell the stories of our men and women in the military and first responders each Sunday morning on WFIN. Hi, this is Ben Bueller Garcia, your host for American Warrior Radio. Our mission is to educate and inform the public not only about those who serve, but those who support them. We also share issues of importance to veterans and their families. Join us for American Warrior Radio, Sunday mornings at 6 on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. It is back to school time now. And how well do you feel that schools today prepare our kids for life in the real world? They asked both parents and recent high school graduates this question. Survey of 1,000 each, 1,000 recent grads, 1,000 parents. And the results might kind of surprise you. They did me. Only 22% of high school graduates feel very prepared for life when they get their high school diploma. The parents are actually more optimistic. 43% of parents believe their child is ready for the real world. 43% of parents, just 22% of the kids themselves. 24% of high school graduates plan on entering the workforce right away once they graduate high school. 21% are planning to attend a two-year college. Half are planning to go to a traditional four-year school, so the traditional path, half of students. 9% intend to go to a trade school or obtain a professional certificate of some kind, specialized training. 4% say that they are entering the military. And so a lot of those numbers used to be higher. Used to be that you'd think a four-year college degree was the way to go after high school was almost automatic for a lot of students. That number is down. The number of military people, kids who are going into the military is down slightly. Two-year college and trade school numbers are up, but still relatively small. It's kind of interesting. 7% of recent high school grads say that they are taking a gap year immediately upon graduation of high school. They're going to take some time off before going back to school. 36% of those in the survey say they wish they would have learned more about post-high school life while they were still in school. 37% believe they should have gotten more exposure to job skills. Shelley Haynes of Learn for Life, which commissioned the survey, says it's important that schools adjust, changing their methods and their lesson plans to focus on individual students and what their post-high school plans might be, because they are changing. So kind of interesting there, the results of the survey. The thing that, you know, again, really surprised me, parents actually more optimistic about how well their kids are prepared for life in the real world after high school graduation than the kids are these days. I did not expect that. We're getting all kinds of metrics this week on the economy and how people are feeling about it. Consumer confidence, the Fed giving us a good indication of how they're feeling about it, of course. What about small business owners? As we know, they make up the majority of employers and job creators, so it makes sense to get their temperature on the current and future state of the American economy. The Bank of America 2024 Business Owner Report is out this week, and Carol Lee Mitchell is with us. She is head of growth business segments for business banking at B of A. Carol Lee, thanks very much for taking the time. What are business owners telling you about where they are now and what their expectations are for the coming year?
Well, thank you for having me, Chris. Business owners are cautiously optimistic for the year ahead. So our survey tells us that 65% of small business owners and 87% of mid-sized business owners anticipate that their revenues are going to increase over the next 12 months. In addition to that, 39% plan to expand their business, 30% plan to hire more employees, and about 55% report higher business revenues in 2023 versus 2022, and they'd expect that trend to continue on in 2024.
So obviously business owners are smart enough to know that this is not going to happen organically. If they're going to realize that growth, that they have to remain engaged with consumers and offer a customer experience that both current and future potential customers expect. Probably now more than ever, how are they doing that?
So business owners are eager to connect with their customers. They understand that their business grows as customers, basically shop local. And so, you know, what they're doing is really staying close to the customer. They're looking at personalized customer interactions. In fact, 80% of our business owners tell us that they're looking at solutions in that regard. You know, gathering customer feedback, really trying to understand what their needs are, what their challenges are, what they like in terms of products and services, and also marketing, you know, direct marketing, digital ads, direct and email newsletters. These are all ways in which business owners can communicate with their customers more directly. I think that over the past several years, they have learned that that engagement is probably one of the most single important ingredients to having a sustainable business strategy for growth.
Mm-hmm. I am curious. I mean, obviously, by the numbers and this cautious optimism, boy, how many times have we heard that phrase over the past year plus? But with this cautious optimism, clearly they feel pretty good about the strength of their own businesses. How do they feel about the economy more broadly, both locally and nationally? Do you see big differences when you ask, you know, about their local economy versus the national economy, that kind of thing?
Yes. You know, over the past, you know, I would say several years, we've seen this sort of bifurcation between business owner sentiment around the national economy versus local economy. And so 77% of mid-sized businesses and 42% of small businesses tell us, you know, local economy will improve. I have more direct control. I know what the levers are that I can pull. Mm-hmm. I feel better about that, right? And versus, you know, at the national level, 3/4 of mid-sized business owners expect national economy to improve, while only 1/3 of small business owners expect the same. And, you know, that's also, you know, as a result of the fact that, you know, again, business owners say, you know, what's happening at the national level, I'm keeping it as a watch item. I'm going to focus and hunker down on what I control in my local economy for my business operations and deliver the best for the customer.
It certainly makes sense. I mean, they are certainly closer to the local economy and they have more direct influence, if not control, influence over what happens in their local communities. So that only makes sense. The other big buzzword that we have heard, and again, this is several years running now, is the I word, inflation. Where are we now vis-a-vis the way inflation is impacting business owners and how they are addressing those impacts, those concerns?
Small and mid-sized business owners are still experiencing challenges due to inflation. You know, we're beginning to see some of those pressures ease, but our survey, you know, tells us that 73% of small and 68% of mid-sized business owners are still concerned. North of 80% for small and 90% of mid-sized business owners report inflation impacted their business. And so, you know, to mitigate some of that impact, you know, business owners are looking for agile solutions. They're adjusting. They've got, you know, they're looking at their operations. You know, just half have reported that they're reevaluating cash flow. About a third have increased employee wages. And roughly two-thirds have increased prices based on the impacts due to inflation. But I think it's important to couple that with their overall sentiment in that, yes, it's challenging, but I'm still expecting growth. I'm still expecting to hire and build. And I think that that is still sort of a good sign of resiliency amongst this community of business owners at large.
You also asked, and real quickly, I want to ask you about this because you did delve into it a little bit in the report. One of the big buzzwords this year that we've heard is the deployment of technology, specifically AI and its business applications. What steps are businesses taking to modernize their operations with these new technologies?
So the good news is business owners are investing in new technologies. They're looking to modernize. You know, our survey suggests that many of those technologies that are being brought in are to help customer satisfaction, you know, manage cash flow, stay organized, and reach new customers, right? This is kind of the basic blocking and tackling that we see business owners doing so well. You know, as it relates to AI, there were some noticeable differences in terms of perspective between the small businesses and the mid-sized businesses. Hmm. So about 89% of our mid-sized companies plan to implement AI tools this year, while 37% of small business owners plan to. And they're looking at AI specifically for primary uses around things like streamlining payroll and bookkeeping, hiring, and, you know, differentiating themselves from competitors, what opportunities exist.
Again, the Bank of America 2024 Business Owner Report out this week. Carol Lee Mitchell of Bank of America with us this morning. You have the report on your website, I'm assuming?
That is correct. We have it at business.bankofamerica.com.
Fascinating stuff there. Carol Lee, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. And remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. That, of course, goodmornings.net. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow to finish up the week.